Parshas Vayishlach, there's a story that we all read, and it's interesting. I was talking to a third grade Rebbe over Shabbos, and I was asking him, he teaches Parshas Vayishlach. I said, I was just curious, did they ever ask, like, what exactly does it mean that a human being has a fight with an angel, and there's a physical fight? Like, you know, these types of things are very hard to understand. They told me, nah, in third grade they don't think so far about it. Yeah, they move on, yeah, whatever, they fight, they move on. But as adults, we have to think a little bit more. I try to understand what exactly is the message of the Torah with this story in the middle of the Parsha. On top of that, a good observation that one can make is, it's interesting, we know Yaakov Avinu prepared for everything and anything to meet up with Esav. And lo and behold, his big problem was not Esav. His bigger problem was his Sarishal Esav, was this angel that he ended up meeting with, which he totally did not anticipate. He was focused on fighting a war with a human being, with an army, and he gets sideswiped, so to say, with an angel. How does one fight an angel? What does one do with an angel? What exactly does the Torah want us to learn from all of this? You know, we generally assume we're not going to be meeting up with angels, we're not fighting with angels. Why does the Torah write this story, and what's the lesson for us? So I believe the Torah is teaching us a very valuable lesson through Yaakov, about how Yaakov looked at life. For example, we know Rashi tells us that Yaakov Avinu was Vayivasa Yaakov Levadi. The pasuk says Yaakov was left alone. Says Rashi, why was he left alone? Because he went back for the Pachim Ketanim. Now Rashi doesn't tell you the whole Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin, Tzadi Aleph, explains more. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu went back for Pachim Ketanim. Lalamdecho, says Rashi, the Gemara says, it teaches us that tzaddikim, when it comes to tzaddikim, they love their money more than their bodies. Now that's generally a term you wouldn't think to associate with tzaddikim. See, tzaddikim, you think they love Hashem more than their money. Says the Gemara, Tzadi Aleph and Chul, no, tzaddikim, they love, it's beloved to them, their money more than their body, because he was willing to take a chance to go alone by himself to get these small little jugs that you can buy in amazing savings for whatever, and he went back for them. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara says, my timer. The Gemara says, why? The fish are pushed in your day min hagezel, because they're so afraid of theft. So he's willing to go back and get a few jugs. This way, he'll never ever have to steal. So on the simple level of the Gemara, it seems to be a praise for Yaakov. I mean, Yaakov Avinu was so concerned that one day he may not have enough small jugs, and if he doesn't have these, he may steal. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu went back for them. So in Mishnah Sabarim, the Baron Cutler, and a similar idea is found in the Sefer Chedush Aleph, written by Penach Leibowitz, they both point out, if you think about it, it's interesting. Yaakov Avinu was wealthy. That's where Penach asks it. Yaakov Avinu was wealthy. So you understand what has to happen over here? Yaakov Avinu has to lose all his money, to be so broke, to then potentially steal, and for all of that potential, maybe, Yaakov Avinu went back for Pachim Ketanim.
Why didn't you think he would steal?
Oh, so that's the answer. The answer is, says these Gedolim, the way these people like Yaakov Avinu looked at life, they took no chances when it came to Avodas Hashem. They did not want to go anywhere near a potential that something negative could happen. We live in a world today that we're not so worried with spirituality. Yaakov Avinu was so concerned, maybe something might happen. Maybe I'll lose all my money, and then maybe I'll be tempted, and then maybe I won't be able to miskabe, and then maybe I will steal. So in our daily lives, we never take this amount of steps when we're worried about things of spirituality. I think we do so with business. Many of us do. With our finances, we take these types of cheshbonos. Well, maybe this goes wrong, and then that goes wrong, and next thing I know, I'm bankrupt, my company's done. I think there are people that think like that. I don't think we do with spirituality. I don't think we say, well, if I do this action, then maybe down the road, it might cause me to have a breach in my avodas Hashem, it might cause me to say, that far along the road, we don't think. Says these Gedolim, Baron Cutler and others, that's the difference, and that was what made Yaakov Avinu great. Yaakov Avinu didn't take chances. To him, everything was viewed in the vision of how can I go close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or get further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says Baron Cutler, don't think for a second Yaakov was cheap. Don't think, oh, Yaakov went back for the Pachim Ketanim because he was, careful because he needed 5 cents in his pocket. Says Baron, the Medrash tells us at the end of the parish that Yaakov Avinu took a pile of money and gave it to Esav. He said, here, Esav, take all the money, give me your chelik in Maris HaMachpelah. Why is that? Says the Baron Cutler, because Yaakov looked at money as merely a hechatimtza, as an ability to serve Hashem. So if money is there to serve Hashem, so I'm willing to give it all up to be able to get Esav out of Maris HaMachpelah. The purpose of money is merely to help facilitate growth in Avodas Hashem, so he's willing to give it up. There's an amazing story in the biography of Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. Now, Reb Shmuel Birnbaum was a masmid atzim, the Rashiva of the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. He was a masmid atzim. He learned all day long. They say the next morning after his chasen, he showed up. He showed up for the first Seder the next day. His chavrusha showed up for Torah. He's not going to be there. He got married last night. Right now, now I have talmidim whose sister brother gets married. They're out for a week. Right? I don't know what they're doing. They're out for a week. He got married last night, Shmuel Berman. The next morning, he was at first Seder, 9 o'clock in yeshiva. No one ever thought he'd be there. So Shmuel Berman was a masmanatzim. So they wrote a biography after he passed away. Every time I read the biography, I always feel guilty because I know Rabbi Shmuel Berman knew I was reading his biography. He'd be mad at me. He'd rather I be learning. But okay. It's not much of a biography. He learned all day, he learned all night, he learned all day, he learned all night. That's like a B'Yashiv's book. They learned Torah all day long. Not much to say. So, but there's one story that's very fascinating about Shmuel Berman. Shmuel Berman had a son-in-law and a daughter that were making a chasana for their child. So they gave Shmuel Berman the invitation. So he looked at the invitation. He says, the chasana is going to be in Lakewood. So Shmuel Berman was so makbin on Torah. If you ever wanted Shmuel Berman to be sadar your chasana, you had to make a very late chuppah. Because he would never go until second Seder was over in the Mir. In the Mir, second Seder is over at 7:45. Which means he's first leaving yeshiva at 7:45 till he gets to the hall. Could be whatever it is, 9:30. That's just for the chuppah. That was Rosh Shmuel Berman. He was a masmid atzam. Every minute was precious to him. So he looks at the invitation. It says the chasana is in Lakewood. So he asks his son-in-law, why is the wedding in Lakewood? So we all know the answer, because it's cheaper in Lakewood. So Rosh Shmuel Berman says, what's the difference in price between here, Brooklyn and Lakewood? So he told him, $5,000. Takes out his checkbook, Rosh Shmuel Berman. He writes him a check for the difference of the two halls, and he gives him the check. So Shmuel Berman, money didn't mean anything to him. It wasn't like, oh, now I have more money, now I can. It was irrelevant. To him, money was just a chetim set to serve Hashem. So if to him, $5,000 gets him to stay second state alone, he's willing to do it. That's Yaakov Avinu's way of looking at these things. No, Yaakov Avinu was willing to give everything to get Esav Adamar's Machpelah. Not because he didn't value money, not because he was cheap, fakir. To him, money was merely in this world to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was Yaakov's perception of money. And we know Yaakov's perception of life, from the end of the parasha, Yaakov's perception of life was all about Torah, his whole essence. He was an ish tom yoshev olam, his entire purpose in life was Torah. So perhaps that's what the Torah is teaching us over here, is that how was it that Yaakov was able to fight Sarah Shal Esav? He wasn't prepared for him. Perhaps when a person has values, then no matter what is thrown his way, he's able to battle it. Now there are going to be situations that we can never prepare for. Now, you can teach your kids right and wrong and do this and don't do that, and there'll still be situations where they are presented that no one ever told them what to do in such a situation. It happens all the time in life. We can prepare for everything, and then we'll be thrown a curve. But what do we do now? The answer is if we have values, and were put into us from a young age, then we know that because of our values, we can't do this, we can't do that. Yaakov Avinu had real value. He had a value of money, chashivas hakesef, he had chashivas hatoyro. He had real value to him. When a person has real values, then he could deal with the curveballs of life because he's ready for it. Because he knows what he stands for, and he knows what he's all about. The problem is when we don't know what we're about, we're wishy-washy. We ourselves don't know what the right answers are, because we don't know what we represent. We don't know if we're on this side, if we're on that side, we're up, we're down. Then we all get thrown off when we get these curveballs. Masha Enkin, someone like Yaakov was that knew what he was about, and he gave that over to us, and that's the lesson, I think, for us. There's going to be times in life we're going to meet up with a Sarah Shalasev, totally unexpected. What do I do now? It's bound to happen. It's bound to happen to our kids, bound to happen to us. It's just part of life. We're not prepared. So what do you do then? The answer is then you have to fall back on your values and say, listen, I wasn't raised this way. I was raised not to do this, and this is important, and this is not important. When you have that value, it makes it a little easier. I mentioned last week that I went to a hachtorah for the new Rav in the Young Israel of Yulet, a friend of mine. So he told me that Rabbi Feitman said over a great vart about this week's parasha, that Esav tells Yaakov, Yeshli Rav. So he said, oh, from the Chassam Sefer, I couldn't find it in Sefer. That Esav told Yaakov, I also have a Rav. Yeshli Rav, I also have a Rav. He's just in my pocket. No, I control the rabbi, because Yeshli Rav, I have a rabbi. Right? I have a rabbi also, Yaakov. You think you're the only one? I also have a rabbi. The difference is I pull his strings. Yeshli Rav means I have the rabbi, I control him. That was the word he said. So he was saying to the people, tell him it's not a good idea to treat your rabbi like that. That was the word that he said over. But we find also in this week's parasha an interesting insight into anti-Semitism. In this week's parasha, we find a clear difference between the anti-Semitism of the Christianity and the anti-Semitism of the Arabs. In the end of the parasha, the end of parasha of Yishlach is a lot of psukim which most of us probably didn't think spend too much time on. There's some names, there's some people, but in the middle of the end, towards the end of the parasha, there's a pasuk that's important. The pasuk tells us the last pasuk. It tells us Alufi Edom leMoishvoysam beEretz Achuzasam who Esav Avi Adom. Pasuk tells us that Esav got chelak in Eretz Yisrael. He got a Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. Rev Huttner in 1970, along with many other people, were on a plane that was hijacked. Three planes that were hijacked in 1970. And when Rav Huttner was, while he was in captivity, finally he was released, And there was a whole discussion then about should you pay extra price for him. That's a sugya we discussed once here before. You're not supposed to overcharge. The Mishnah says in Gittin, you're not supposed to overcharge for captives because they're going to keep on doing it. So they brought the shayla to Reb Yaakov, and Reb Yaakov said no, Reb Hutner's different. Then the other story that happened when they finally released Reb Hutner, so they had music playing, and Reb Moshe came to the airport, and Reb Moshe told him, stop playing the music. He said, why? He said, because there are other people that have family members that are still on, still in Sakana. How can you play music when other people are still Sakana? The sensitivity to Rav Moshe. So when Rav Hunter came out of that story in 1970, he said, pshat in that story, why are the Arabs so dedicated and devoted to destroying Klal Yisrael? He said, it's not like the Christians. He says, the Christians don't like us. Let's not beat around the bush. Rashi says in Parshas V'Yishlach, Amar Reb Shimon, Halachihi, Ace of Sein Eliyakim. They don't like us. But it's a different type of a hatred, says Reb Hutner. He says, the Arabs are upset because they never got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And that's going to bother them till the end of time. Esav has a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, says in the Pasuk. They have land in Eretz Yisrael. That's not their beef with us, the Christians. They're not mad at us that we stole their land, because they didn't. They got land in Eretz Yisrael. They're mad at us because whatever we did to Yoshka, we didn't do to Yoshka, that's their issue. Mashenkin, the Arabs, says Reb Hutner, the Arabs are always upset that Yishmael never got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Says that issue is never going to go away. It's never going to get better. It's never going to fix. And that's why he says, Reb Hutner, 1970, things haven't gotten better since 1970 with our relationships with the Arabs by far. Says Reb Hutner, that's why they continue to hate us. So in this week's parasha, we see really two types of anti-Semitism, very different. The Christian type of anti-Semitism, and we have the Arab type of anti-Semitism, along with the fact that we mentioned many times, the Vesa Levi's words of Miyad Achim, Miyad Esav. We have mixed messages from the nations around us of how they try to attack us. Sometimes they come as an achi, they want to be our friend, they want to be nice to us, and sometimes they come as an esav, right? The Arabs don't make it any secret, they don't like us. They don't want to be our friends, they don't want to intermarry, they don't want us in their neighborhoods. As opposed to miyad achi, sometimes the way the goyim come to us, they want to be our friends, and let's get along together. Says the Beis Halevi, you know which one is the more dangerous of the two? The miyad achi is more dangerous, because you don't know, and you often fall into the trap of giving into them and mingling with them and intermarrying with them, and never ends well. Mashenkin miyad esav, at least you know what they're presenting. So I think, in last expression, Yaakov Avinu taught us values in life, while on the flip side of that, we also learn the very evil of two types of anti-Semitism that the world presents. Okay, we left over here in Tosfos. I really want to wrap up the sugya of Tzitzis and Mezuzah, and then we're really going to get back into the sugya of trying to figure out where Rebbe Eliezer knew in the first place that Machshiri Mitzvah Deicha Shabbos. But let's first see Tosfos. Okay, the Gemara told us that Rebbe Eliezer has a rule that all mitzvahs, Machshireha Deicha Shabbos, all mitzvahs that are done on Shabbos, the prep can also be done on Shabbos, except for Tzitzis and Mezuzah. Tzitzis and Mezuzah with the exceptions, that Tzitzis and Mezuzah, you're not allowed to prepare the Tzitzis, and you're not allowed to put up the Mezuzah, that prep is not Deicha Shabbos. The Gemara says, why? So the Gemara gives a Svara, because you can always circumvent the Mitzvah. You can either be Mafka the Tzitzis, Mafka the house. Since you can circumvent the Mitzvah, it's not Deicha Shabbos. That's the words of the Gemara. So Tosfos over there on the Gemara, along with all the other Rishayim, have a very basic kasha, Tema, for Tosfos. Why did the Gemara have to go out of its way to come up with some reason to why Tzitzis and Mezuzah are not Deicha Shabbos? Well, you need a reason. I'll tell you why. Says Tosfos, Ela Mishum Dolei Ashkhan Derevin Ukra. It's because there's no pasuk that says they are Deicha Shabbos. Because all the other things that are Deicha Shabbos, Lulav, Sukkah, Shofar, that's only because the Torah says so. There's a special Gzeiras HaKasev. Each one has a Gzeiras HaKasev that says it's Deicha Shabbos. So there's no Gzeiras HaKasev for Tzitzis and Mezuzah. So if there's no Gzeiras HaKasev, it's not Deicha Shabbos. Why do I need a Svara if it's just lack of a source? Says Tosfos, no. Says Tosfos, no. Because what I could have done was, is I could have learned that a memetzinu. I could have said, although there's no pasuk that permits machshirei tzitzis and mezuzah, let's learn out from sukkah. Learn out from sukkah, which happens to have a pasuk. I, says Tosfos, to my pirichas, what are you going to ask me? Shkeina heges belailos kibiyam. You're going to ask me that sukkah is a unique mitzvah. It's a 24-hour-a-day mitzvah. You have to sit in the sukkah at night, and you have to sit in the sukkah during the day, and you have to sleep in the sukkah at night, and you have to sleep in the sukkah during the day. So it's a 24-hour mitzvah. That's uniqueness to the mitzvah. Lulav is not a 24-hour-a-day mitzvah, nor is shofar. Thank you. So maybe there's something unique about sukkah. So therefore, I can't learn out tzitzis and mezuzah from sukkah. So what's the obvious answer? Sukkah, tzitzis and mezuzah are also 24-hour-a-day mitzvahs. Says Tosfos, shekein neheges belailos kibiyamim. Mezuzah nami noheg belailos kibiyamim. Right? Everyone knows you don't take off your mezuzah at night. Again, we mentioned Reb Kiveger and the Tshuva, that maybe when you go away for extended periods of time, then maybe you're potter from mezuzah because you're not a chayves hadar. But other than that, we assume that mezuzah is a continuous, person buys a house at 3 o'clock in the morning, of course he has to put up a mezuzah on the house. It's not a time-sensitive mitzvah. It's applicable all the time. What about tzitzis? Now tzitzis is already a machlokes tanoim, because by tzitzis, it's a machlokes if Lila's chayv in tzitzis. So Taisa says, no, tzitzis, l'rabana, the pli, you'll add Rabshim, and pegat cheles. The loy dash, it means the maestro praluxus Lila, el praluxus summa. Says Taisa, no, we'll go according to the rabban, and the rabban will hold you chayv in Lila. It says in the Torah, isa maestro, you should see it. That doesn't mean as opposed to night, it means as opposed to someone who's a summa who can't see it all. Okay. So now they're all on the same level. So says Taisa, I would have learned out tzitzis and mezuzah from sukkah, that machshire mitzvah deche Shabbos. No, it's not, it's going the other way.
Hey, there's only, you
have 2 seconds there telling me that. So the Gemara is going to end up saying, because the Gemara is going to end up saying, I can't learn anything from anything. That's what we're going to get to next week, I hope. The Gemara is going to say, all the times the Torah writes it, I can't learn anything from, everything has a uniqueness to it. So the Gemara at this point thinks we're going to learn everything out from Sukkah. Rather, the Tosfos Rosh has a kasha. He says, why can't you do what's, instead of a memetzin, what's a memetzin? Learn at A from B. Why don't you learn it from a tzad hashava? Take A and B, that all have similarities, and learn at C from A and B. I mean, Tosfos keeps on saying, you can't learn out one from one. I mean, I can't learn out a sukkah from lulav and lulav from shofar, but why can't I learn out tzitzis and mezuzah from a combo of sukkah and shofar, and whatever milo this one has cancels out, like the Gemara does all over in Shas. That's what Tosfos Rosh has such a kasha like that. But Tosfos doesn't seem to go like that. Tosfos assumes, tzitzis, I'll make a doichik, will go according to Rabban. Now Tosfos has a problem. There's a Gemara on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, which we need to talk more about, but the Gemara has a comment in the following words. The Gemara says, Mila is unlike all the other mitzvahs that we've learned about. All the other mitzvahs, that the Gemara has a line, Over Zmanoi Batla. If the time passes, the mitzvah is over. But Mila, Over Zmanoi Loi Batla. Mila is not like that. Mila, even after day 8 passes, it's Loi Batla, you do the Mila on day 9. Right? After Sukkot is over, you can't sit in the Sukkot. Mezuzah doesn't have that, right? Mezuzah should be Aves Manaloi Batl. That's what Taisus is building up to. But we're going to see more today that it's a Machloikish Mishainim, but the simple words of the Gemara are, all other mitzvahs in the Torah are Aves Manaloi Batl. Once the time is over, there's no mitzvah.
Is tzitzis because at night?
We're going to talk about tzitzis. No, not because at night. We'll see tzitzis, we'll have to see how tzitzis falls in. But the Gemara has a comment on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis that mezuzah is Aves Manaloi Batl. Nothing happens after you cross day 8. You don't lose the mitzvah, you do the mitzvah on day 9. But Mila, but all the other mitzvahs is not like that. All
but
the
by
other
Mila
mitzvahs.
Is the let me say that by Mila, there's the mitzvah to have a Mila, but then there's the status of not having a Mila.
Wow.
So that is that.
Kamal, unbelievable. Mechavim to the base of Levi's cash on the tour. Wow, Gavalik.
See what happens when you go away from
unbelievable. Mavish. That's a doozy. That's a good one.
Wow.
When I was preparing this, I didn't even think of it until someone pointed out to me this Beis HaLevi. There's a Beis HaLevi that we're going to get to on the sheet in Mirz Hashem in a few minutes. That the Beis HaLevi is going to have a kasha, that Mila should be different.
I think the Beis
HaLevi
said it better.
The Beis HaLevi, we're going to get to in a second. We'll revisit an old issue that we have, what's called the Machlokes Rambam and the Torah, about how to understand the mitzvah of Mila. Is the mitzvah of Mila a one-time experience? Cut off the Arla and that's it? Or the mitzvah of Mila is every day of your life you have to have a Mila. It's a continuous mitzvah. So the kasha that the Beis HaLevi has, that if you look at it as a continuous mitzvah, so if today I was supposed to get gemalt and I didn't get gemalt, so I lost today being gemalt. I can't make up yesterday. Every day I have to be in the status of a Mila. So day 8 comes, today's my day to make sure I have a Mila. I didn't. Okay, so I'll do the act on day 9. But the status of being Nimol, I didn't have yesterday. I lost that. That can't be made up. That's gone. That's gone forever. If it's just an act, so the act has to get done. Whenever the act gets done, I did the mitzvah. But if it's a status, if every day I need to be nimol, every day of my life I have to be without an orlo, I didn't have that today, because today I went and I didn't cut off the milah. That's the Beis HaLevi's kasha. We'll see in a minute inside how he deals with this kasha. But we did talk about this Beis HaLevi before, but not this kasha. It's a very strong kasha. We'll see other turrets of Machreinim as well. But Tosfos is building up a case over here that's interesting. Tosfos says, now, if you're going to learn out, Tosfos is going along the path that we're going to learn out tzitzis and mezuzah from Sukkah. Again, Sukkah, we assume, is Aver Zmanai Batl, right? Whatever that means. We'll see, it's a Machalikis Rishayim. But simply, after Sukkah is over, you can't sit in a Sukkah. Right? That's all we all agree. Aver Zmanai Batl. Says Tosfos, Ulahai Taimid, the Parish is the Mesukkah Yalafla. If you're going to go in your world now, that you're going to learn out tzitzis and mezuzah from Sukkah, and that's why Machshirei should be Doicha, tzarech lam, you're going to have to say the tzitzis umezuzah the bach adds umezuzah imavas manabotla. It's going to be like imavas manabotla. Di lavach, because we don't say that iklamivrach. Then you have a very simple pircha on your limud. Malas sukkah shekein imavas manabotla. We all know that sukkah is avas manabotla. Now the kash on Taisvis is he's making something very simple, very complicated. Wouldn't that be pashit that sukkah is avas manabotla? Of course. If I don't sit in the sukkah on sukkahs, I lose the mitzvah. Right? That's, well, what's the other way? The tesis makes it sound like it's up. It's a chiddush. That sukkah is of his man a batla. And so everything's a chiddush. Why do these such a big chiddush? These all should be very simple conclusions. Right? Sukkahs is a time-sensitive mitzvah. You have 7 days to do it. If you don't do it within the 7 days, you lose the mitzvah. I think everyone would agree to that. Tesis is, you know, making this like a chiddush. And then he gets even better, says Tesis. The mistaver, the milam of his man a loy batla. Now Tesis starts to talk on his own. It's a mefurshe gemara. Taisus makes it sound like it's his chiddush that mila is avar zman eloi batla. Yeah. The Gemara says that in Koflam Bezam and Aleph. The Gemara says in the next Talmud that mila is avar zman eloi batla. Now Taisus comes up with a chiddush. It's mistavr. It makes sense. The mila is avar zman eloi batla, but mila is not like that. Why? Sha'isa mila atzme shu mechayv b'shmini. That mila that you have to do on day 8 shu mechayv b'shmini hu aisa b'tshi. You could also do on day 9. You don't lose the mitzvah. Why should imal b'shmini la'hayichayzer umal b'chi? The mitzvah never returns. The mitzvah is over. It's a one-time mitzvah. You do day 8, you don't do day 8, do day 9.
You don't have
a
mitzvah on day 8.
No, no, so the mitzvah is not connected to day 8. The first time where mitzvah is on day 8, but if you don't do it on day 8, you can do it on day 9. Depends what the mitzvah is. If the mitzvah is to do the ma'ar, we'll get to that in a second. Avol sukkah, they are daily chiyuvim. If I sit in the sukkah on the first day of sukkahs, I still have to sit in the sukkah on the second day of sukkahs. Therefore, hilkach kishaver hayoyim v'leyasol mitzvah hayoyim lo yikayim oy la'olam. So therefore, says Taisvis, if I didn't sit in the sukkah on the first day of sukkahs, I can't make it up on the second day. It's not a makeup. It's over. I lost the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah yom rishon. Then I'll say the sukkah yom sheni, so I got to check for yom sheni. But the actual mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah yom rishon is gone forever. Same thing with tzitzis and mezuzah. Every day I have a mitzvah with tzitzis, and every day I have a mitzvah with mezuzah. The fact that I can do the mitzvah tomorrow is not the pshat that the mitzvah has to get done here. No, I lost the mitzvah of yesterday. I just have a new mitzvah tomorrow. Every day is a separate mitzvah.
Does anyone talk about the fact that by sukkah it's not like by Pesach? In other words, that it's only the first day versus, in other words, the other six. In other words, by Pesach you have a chiyuv to eat matzah the first day, whereas by sukkah you have a chiyuv all seven.
Right, yes,
so it's not pshat that the first one.
No, 100%.
In other words, it's all seven.
So you have a mitzvah every day to yeshiva b'sukkah for 7 days.
So if you miss the first one, it makes no difference. First six.
Right. There's no way of making it up. Every day is a separate mitzvah.
Yeah, it's a mezuzah. Are very similar to Mila, but Sukkah is not similar to Mila.
Why is Tzitzis Mezuzah more similar to Mila?
Because you have the mitzvah every single day, right. And then what? And you could do it in the future. It's not one day and it's over, but Sukkah, it's one day and it's over.
Okay, good. So that's what we're going to have to get to in a second. We're going to have to break down a little more how to define, what does it mean, Avar Zman Batla? What do those words mean? We'll get to that in a second. So let's first see, again, so what's the Cheshbon in Taisvis? The Cheshbon in Taisvis was, that Taisvis was Mechadish and Agimara, that the Havamina would have been to learn out Machshire Mitzvah Doiche Shabbos of Tzitzis and Mezuzah to be learned that from Sukkah. That's what we would have thought. That's why the Gemara comes along with a svara of Hoyol B'yodel Afkiran. Since Tzitzis and Mezuzah you can always get out of the Mitzvah, it's not comparable to Sukkah. You can't get out of the Mitzvah of Sukkah. Even if you're homeless, you still have a Mitzvah to sit in a Sukkah. So the Mitzvah of Sukkah is different than the Mitzvah of Tzitzis and Mezuzah, and therefore the Gemara says you can't learn one from the other. So what's the Cheshbon in Taisvis? According to Taisvis, Taisvis had a kasha. He wanted to know, what's the Gemara's kasha of my time? What do you mean my time? Because the Torah doesn't write it anywhere. Says Taisus, no, I don't. My cash is not on the Torah. My cash is on Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer could have learned out Tzitzis and Mezuzah from Sukkah, and he decided not to. It must be because he holds there fundamentally different mitzvahs. The Ramban number 2, along with the Rashba and other Rishonim, they have a whole different spin on the Gemara. They say, Hachi Kama, my time eloi hitiru toira machshirin shalelu k'may shetiru es shalelu. The Gemara's kasha is not on Rebbe Eliezer. Why doesn't Rebbe Eliezer permit tzitzis and mezuzah? It says kasha on the Torah. Why did the Torah not write a heter by tzitzis and mezuzah? What was Taisvus's kasha? Why do I need a svara to explain tzitzis and mezuzah? The Torah didn't write exeris hakasav. Says that's exactly the kasha. Says the Ramban. Why didn't the Torah write exeris hakasav? The Torah wrote exeris hakasav for lula. The Torah wrote it by sukkah. Why didn't the Torah write it by tzitzis and mezuzah? It's not a kasha on Rebbe Eliezer. It's a kasha on Hashem. Why didn't Hashem give in to Machshire Mitzvahs Tzitzis and Machshire Mitzvahs Mezuzah like he did by other mitzvahs? That was the kasha. Says the Ramban, Avaloi Boila, my time to Beliezer Beilu. We were never asking on Rebbe Eliezer. The Kibbutz Rabbin Rachman Memelem Mate. Because if there's no Ribui Hakra, so then there's no reason to assume Machshire Mitzvah Dechah Shabbos. The Cholhanach Machshire and Dechah Shabbos Mikroi Marbilu Bishmaitin. So he goes like Taisus is kasha, but machloikis between Taisus and the Ramban is who is the Gemara asking on? Is it a kasha on the Beliezer or is it a kasha on the Torah? That's the way you get around the kasha.
What Taisus think for granted, isn't that the machloikis of Abaye and Rav Yosef?
We're going to come back to that also today, yeah.
So you just take a stand.
Yeah, we're going to deal with that also in a few minutes. So, according to Taisus, if you're going to learn out Mila, if you're going to learn out Tzitzis and Mezuzah from Sukkah, you have to say that they're both in the same family called Over Zmanei Batl. That's what you're going to have to say. Frekta Beis Halevi, number 3, this is the Chelik Beis Simen Mem Zayin. We talked about part of Mem Zayin. That's where we were exposed to a couple of things in Simen Mem Zayin. That's the long Simen that he talks about Mila. So over there, he goes back to the Machloikis of Shem in the Rambam and the Torah. There's a famous Machloikis of Shem that comes up all over this parak, which we talked a little bit, we'll talk more about. Well, what happens is there's something called Tzitzin She'ein Ma'akvin Asamila, certain strands of the Mila that don't make the Mila possible. But it's a hidden mitzvah if you get them in the milah. If you cut them, it's a hidden mitzvah. If you don't cut them, it doesn't render the milah possible. So the question is, as a machloikis Rambam and Torah, let's say the mo'el finished the milah. Should he go back for these tzitzis she'in ma'akvin es hamilah? Should he go back?
Ever or on Shabbos?
So that's part of the machloikis Rishonim. Should you ever go back, or should you just not go back on Shabbos? So the Rambam Shita is, you never go back. Not Shabbos, not Chol, you never go back. Why is that the Rambam? Because what's there to go back for? Because the Rambam, the way the Beis Halevi explains the Rambam, the concept of Hidr Mitzvah is only before you finish the Mitzvah. Once the Mitzvah is over, there's no more Hidr Mitzvah. Says the Beis Halevi, if a person shakes Lulav in the morning, and he was yet to the Mitzvah Sukkah, Mitzvah Lulav, he's not going to go then get it, take another fancy or Lulav, and say Hidr Mitzvah. Hidr Mitzvah is when I'm presented with two Mitzvahs. That's the Torah. The Rambam says not like that. The Rambam holds the Mitzvah's over. You cut the early, you finished. Now you want to go back to do Hidr Mitzvah when the Mitzvah's over? There's no Hidr Mitzvah when the Mitzvah's over. That's the Rambam's pshat according to the Beis Halevi.
Is it a hider or is it a difference between a bidyevet?
No, it would be hider. It would be al zekeli van veyu.
So it's 100%.
Yeah.
It's not a bidyevet.
No. It's just a question of hider. So the Rambam, according to the Beis Halevi, holds you don't go back for hider mitzvah when the mitzvah is already over. Mitzvah's finished. You shook lulav already. The din of hasnei lefon of mitzvahs make mitzvahs nicer means when you have two mitzvahs in front of you, you can buy esrig number 1 or buy esrig number 2. So you're mechuyiv to buy the nicer esrig. So when you do the mitzvah, you did the mitzvah nicer. But I did the mitzvah already, it's over, it's in the past. To redo a mitzvah nicer, that's not hidden mitzvah. That's how the Beis Halevi explains the Rambam. What about the Torah? The Torah disagrees. The Torah says, you don't go back on Shabbos, because of Chilul Shabbos. But on a Tuesday, avad you go back. What happened to the svar of hidden mitzvah? There's no hidden mitzvah post-factor. Says the Torah, no. Says the Beis Halevi, number 3, Ubedasa Torah, the svile de b'chol tzarech lachzer. It's already a new beginning. It's already over. You finished. That's why you don't go back on Shabbos. You can't justify going back on Shabbos because it's not really needed for Shabbos. Because the meal is kosher. So if the meal is kosher, why should I go back? Mitzvah's milah is a continuous mitzvah. It's not a one-time experience. It's not a one-time you cut the milah on day 8 and you're done with the mitzvah. It's not true. It's an ever-long, continuous forever mitzvah.
For
he's going to talk about for who? For the father. It gets a little bit more complicated. There's a Rambam like that also that talks about this forever mitzvah, and it's not clear who's it on. Is it on the father? Is it on the baby? So he talks a little bit about it.
And is he saying that the mila, the act of the mila, or the status of not being...
So like every good salavach, he's going to say there's two dinim. There's two parts to it. There's the actual cut, that's obviously a one-time experience.
Right.
And then there's to be gemalt, which is an ever-going, it continues. That's right. A status of being nimo. Now the truth is, there's a mefurish gemara like this. We mentioned this gemara. The gemara tells about David HaMelech. David HaMelech, when he came to the base of Merchatz, and he was all depressed that he has no mitzvahs, he says, I see my Mila. So everyone asks the Kasha, what does that do for you? Your Mila happened 50 years ago. The answer is no. You see from that Gemara, that being a Nimol, having a status of being not an Oral, is an ongoing mitzvah, and you get it every single day. So therefore, David HaMelech in the base of Merchatz was appeased by the fact that he has a Mila.
It makes sense, because it's almost like the act of Mila is a preparation for the actual mitzvah of entering the bris.
Right, but the question is, do you focus on the Maisa Mitzvah? And just, it's merely an action. Right? Like Lulavan, shaking Lulavan Esrog is an action. Shofar is an action. So when the action's over, the mitzvah's over. Now, the Shofar is supposed to build a relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? No one's going to say, and therefore the mitzvah of Shofar is Nimshach for the whole duration of Yom Tov. It's over after you hear the
right,
sound.
Right, but I guess that's the question.
Right.
The mitzvah is to be... Enter the bris of Avraham. That's exactly what the Beis Halevi says.
That's
everything
how
else is just it's physics and mechanics.
Right, so that's the question. Is it like a Hechsher Mitzvah? We'll talk more about this today. Let's say, for example, Kibud Avim. This is going to come up in our Tesis later today. Very, very fair discussion. Kibud Avim is the mitzvah is to serve things to your parents. And bring them supper. Is making the supper the mitzvah? Or is bringing the supper the mitzvah? Where's the point of mitzvah? Obviously, you can't bring them supper unless you make supper. The way the world works. So when you're sitting,
right,
but is that the mitzvah? The question is, what happens in between those two times? What's the ma'aseh mitzvah and what's what we call hechsher mitzvah? So by mila, the Torah says cut off the erla. That's what the Torah commands us to do. So most of us would have assumed that's the whole mitzvah. Says the Beis Halevi, no, at least according to the Torah, there's another element. And he explains it. He says, the mitzvah mila nimshechas al adam kol yimei chayev u'kamei betzitzis. The man da omer kli kufsa chayev betzitzis. Let's say you hold kli kufsa. You hold tzitzis is chayev as beged. It means you're chayvin all the time. I am not wearing the beged. The beged is not on me. So what? A beged that has four corners needs to have tzitzis. The mishosha matah ba tzitzis mekayim mitzvah calls manshim munach beged bekufsa. Says the Beis Halevi, tzitzis is unique. If I put tzitzis on a beged and the beged sits in my house, I'm yetzer the mitzvah every day of my life. I'm getting a check for having tzitzis on a dalad on a beged of dalad kanfis. I put the tzitzis on months ago. Every day that there's a tzitzis on a beged, I get a check in Shemayim. Right. Maybe we'll get to that in a second. He says, "Kamoi came a mila svirle lator del muvad de ma'isa atzmo shel amila tahenuch atichos oil lavi mitzvah." Right, they were all going to agree, says the Beis Halevi, that the mitzvah is what the Torah says is to cut off the oila, which is obviously a one-time experience. Oid zois nimshechas hilu oilam, that continues forever. The svirle da mitzvah have al Yisrael sheyuni molim. The mitzvah is for Klai Yisrael to be gemalt. Kamoi shekasev how you brisi b'vsachem lebris oilam. Until the kid gets big, everyone has to be not an oral. That's the obligation. Of course, you separated from the ma'ase meal, the act is over. Fine. So that's one act that was done, the act of the actual cutting. You can still beautify the mitzvah. I'm making the mitzvah of me being a nimo done in a nice way. I'm not just a regular nimol. I'm a mehudur dika nimol because I went back for the tzitz. That's the way the Beis Halevi learns the Torah.
None of those are comparable to sukkah.
Why?
Meaning, there's no such thing as a chalos shame. Once I eat a sukkah, a chalos shame, someone
who ate
the sukkah.
Right, right.
It's all focused on the chalos. The beggar has tzitzis on it.
Right, right.
So then, according to this, you can't, the Tosas Kasha falls away.
Why?
There's no comparison to sukkah.
Oh.
Even though the mitzvah is continuous, it's a totally different type of mitzvah. By sukkah, it's the ma'aseh mitzvah. It's the ma'aseh, I ate in the sukkah, I'm sleeping in the sukkah, I'm eating.
Okay, so we're gonna come back to that. So this is all going to be obviously relevant to how you read the words of the Gemara. Avraham zman batel, Avraham zman loy batel.
Says the. Is it the same thing as I bought an esrog for $50,
right?
And there was a $31. So I bought it for $50, and I go down the block. There's an $80 one, so I buy $80.
Right.
So I'm continuing with the Hebrew mitzvah.
No. You didn't do any mitzvahs yet. There were no mitzvahs yet.
I'll get the mitzvah when I...
So when you take the $80 one, right. You did the mitzvah mehudar.
Okay, so I have the hider, I did the purchasing before the mitzvah.
Right.
Okay, so here, it's the same thing with the...
No, the mitzvah's over already. You cut the meal off. Mitzvah's done. Check. Now you want to go back and do the mitzvah again, more mehudar? Says the Beis Halevi, that's not hider mitzvah. Doing a mitzvah again after you already finished the first time is not hidden mitzvah.
Saying it is.
Because according to the Torah, there's another mitzvah here that you can still do nicer. I mean, that mitzvah, every day I have a mitzvah to be nimol. So yesterday I was nimol not so nicely, and today I'll be nimol in a nicer way.
So I'll change the example, tzitzis. So I had a nice pair of tzitzis, but I got a nicer pair. So every day I'm changing my tzitzis. Right, so I'm doing it after I was all in the
right, so according to him, tzitzis is not like that. Tzitzis is an ever-going mitzvah. So if you ever come across a mitzvah that's ever-going, then you would.
These are hidder in tzitzis, right?
Yeah, that's before you buy it. And before, I could buy two begadim. One beged is not so nice.
I got a four-cotton garment. I put on one pair of tzitzis. Then I got a nicer pair of tzitzis. I untie those.
That's because each beged has a separate mitzvah.
The same beged.
I mean the same beged.
I'm wearing
the four corner. Are you putting nicer tzitzis on the beged? It's not hidden mitzvah, it's a chiyuv. What do you mean?
But you're not fixing yesterday's mitzvah. All you're doing is that the next mitzvah, because this mitzvah is ongoing, the next
you don't know, but again, the point of the Beis Halevi is,
I did already, I didn't,
a mitzvah that's already over can't be nicer.
So according to you're fixing the mitzvah?
Right, according to the Beis Halevi, you can't, there's no such thing as doing a mitzvah afterwards nicer. You could do a mitzvah in the future nicer. You can't do a mitzvah after it's over.
Or a new mitzvah still exists.
That's right. The mitzvah
day
still
to day to
that's
day.
Correct.
You
that's
know, a, and you don't have any other example?
I want to get to that right now. So let's see what else we have. Says the Beis Halevi.
But given what Dovid HaMelech said, isn't that a riot against the Beis Halevi that there's a continuous mitzvah that I'm doing now because I'm Gemal?
Right. That's right. To the Beis Halevi.
Why is it to the Beis Halevi? It's five cats. In other words, that mitzvah was done once.
So why was...
So therefore, if in fact each day's worth is a mitzvah that's on my body, it would seem to me that I should be able to be Mahadir.
Yes. You're right. Correct. Exactly. That's what the Torah holds. Exactly. So says the Beis Halevi. One second. Let's go back to our sugi now. What did the Gemara say? Taisus brought us into a Gemara which we could wait till Kuf Lamed Beis, but I don't know when we'll get to Kuf Lamed Beis. So I figure let's talk about it now. He brings in the Gemara. The Gemara has a line: Mila Aver Zmanai Loi Batla. Milas of his man loy batla. Says Taisvis, one sec. Says the Beis Halevi, one sec. If im kain, ha muchach to loy have a kima mitzvah, rak be esam, maisam milum, shamachi loy batla. How do you read the Gemara? Over zman loy batla. Why not? Is Taisvis explained to us because the way the mila works is it's an action. So you do the action once. So you don't do it on 8, you do it on 9, you do it on 10. You never lose the action. That's pashup shot by mila, right? Says the Beis Halevi, but one second. Um shamach loy batla, dim layasa mitzvah zuha yoyim yikamen alamacha. But if you're going to learn like the Torah, that once you do it, it's continuous. Then Mila should be in the category of Avos Manei Batla. Why? Again, if every day I have to be Nimo, so on day 8 I didn't get Nimo. So now I move on to day 9. So I lost day 8. Day 8 was a separate mitzvah to have a milah. Just like day 8 was a separate mitzvah to sit in a sukkah, and day 8 was a special day to put on sittis, I lost it. So why doesn't the Gemara say, milah is avos manei batla? The Gemara says, milah, avos manei loy batla. Why, frekta beis halevi? According to the Torah, it should be...
According to the Mandamber, we learned a while ago that if you had a milah on the third day, are you losing the mitzvah on the 8th day if you did it on the third day?
So that's part of what the Beis Halevi spoke about this also. That Ramah that we started off way in the beginning, that if you do a milah b'dieved early, if you do a milah b'dieved early, you're yoytza on the 8th. So his cheshbin is that came day 8, I was nimol. Right. That's why you're yoytza. Because if the mitzvah is to be nimol, as long as I'm nimol on day 8, I'm good.
So on the raya that it's
that's
the
right.
status of
that's
Nimo,
right.
not the act.
Exactly. That was part of the raya. That's part of this basically that we spoke about last time, was to explain that Ramon Shulchan Aruch that holds that B'dieved Yemila is Yaitza earlier. So says the Beis Halevi, Imkin Ha'im Yavuz Mana Batloi, Hari B'chol Shoy Achla Mitzvah. And then he comes back to our Tosfos. K'maydi Yisa B'Gemara Sham. The Tzitzis U'Mezuzah Loi Dochi Shabbos U'Parech B'Gemara. The Nail of Tzitzis U'Mezuzah Mikol Hani. Why don't we learn that Tzitzis U'Mezuzah from all of those? So the Beis Halevi is going in Tosfos, not according to Ramban. The Ramban, that wasn't the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara's Kasha wasn't learning Tzitzis U'Mezuzah from the other ones. It was, why does the Torah do what it does? He quotes our Tosfos. And then he says, one second, Frank the Beis Halevi. He says, "Dim loyas hayom yisal mochi yachla mitzvah shal yom." The mitzvah nimsheches mikim avos mana batloi. Larei the kava say, "Im nema the mila have a nimsheches." If you learn mila as a continuous mitzvah, harei avos mana batla. It should be avos mana batla. So says the Beis Halevi, he thinks that the Rambam is much more geshmak over here. The Rambam who learns it's a one-time experience, so then the Gemara reads much nicer. But according to the Torah, how are you going to learn the Gemara? That's the kasha that the Beis Halevi is bringing up. L'chayra, the Yisha for this Beis Halevi is based on a Rajba number 4. The Rajba has a Kasha over here, number 4, on the Gemara later on, where the Gemara says that all the mitzvahs that we have are all Avos Manei Batla. Lulav, Shofar, Sukkah, they're all Avos Manei Batla. Only Mila is Avos Manei Loi Batla. Frek the Rajba, why is Sukkah Avos Manei Batla? Frek the Rajba, Ikal Medek. V'hasukkah. Avagav the Dochi Slei Mikami Shabbos, even though I can't do it on Shabbos, any Batla, I don't lose it forever. Frank the Rajba, I don't get it. Why is Sukkah over Zmanei Batla? So let's say I can't do it on the first day because the first day is Shabbos. So they tell me, I'm sorry, you're going to have to lose the mitzvah.
Can't do what?
Build a sukkah.
Well, there's no mitzvah to build a sukkah.
I'm saying,
you mitzvah to sit in a sukkah.
Right. The point is, the Gemara is saying that these mitzvahs, you'll lose them because they have to be done at a specific time. Frank the Rashba, for Sukkah, you have much more flexibility. If you can't build it on the day of Yom Tov, meaning today's Yom Tov, it's Shabbos. So I can't sit in the Sukkah, so I'm going to lose the mitzvah. No, you're not going to lose the mitzvah. You'll build the Sukkah tomorrow, then you'll have the mitzvah.
But you lost it on that day.
It's a Pella. What's the Rashba asking? Yeah. What type of cash is this? You lost yesterday's mitzvah.
Right.
What's even the Rashba thinking? Taisus bavarin this kasha. And Taisus told us, that's not the way you look at it. You look at it as every day is a separate mitzvah. That's clearly not how the Rashba learned the sugya. So this is where we're going to see that it must have been a machloikish mishoidim, how to learn over zmanei batla. Taisus learned over zmanei batla means that every day, it's a 24-hour-a-day mitzvah, and each day is a separate mitzvah. So if I don't sit in the sukkah day one, I lost the mitzvah of sitting day one, and I can get day two, but I'll never get back day one.
Seven
independent mitzvahs. The Rashba clearly didn't learn like that, because if the Rashba learned like that, this kasha makes absolutely no sense.
Wait, you have to eat on sukkah?
No. So the first night, the first night you have to.
Right.
The rest of the sukkah is iboy yochel, iboy lo yochel.
That's the difference in the mitzvah itself, also from the Rashi's standpoint. The first one, in other words, I have to eat even if I'm on a hunger strike in order to be kind of the mitzvah.
Okay. So Beli Neder, I hope by next Sunday we'll actually get into the Gemaras that are going to talk about all these types of things. Okay. We're going to start learning all the mitzvahs from each other. We're going to have all these problems. So I hope we'll say Beli Neder because track record's not so good with these things, but I hope by next Sunday we'll get into these types of shadows.
If it's not on Hanukkah.
I hope so.
If you're not on Hanukkah.
Not for next Sunday. No.
Okay.
It's still another week before Hanukkah, no?
No, what night?
It's Erev.
It's Erev. Oh, wow. Okay,
so,
I don't know.
We're not having a shir?
I don't know.
No, we're having a shir. What's so good?
Okay. In any case, yeah, Beli Neder, we'll come back to that. We'll have to talk about that.
By the way, according to the Rashba, would he hold, and is this a rai that he would hold that Tzivos Omer is the Adafka, one long mitzvah, not each day is its own mitzvah?
Why?
Now you're showing off.
Because according to him, he says that it's not batla. So according to him, you don't have a separate mitzvah every day counting sphere. It's one big mitzvah at the end.
And I don't know what he would hold by sphere. Let's go back a step. Why did the Rashba assume that it should be sukkah should be over zman loy batla because I can sit in the sukkah tomorrow?
Right, so LMI, he holds that he doesn't care about losing out the first day. So it's the same thing, he doesn't look at it every day, Sfiras HaOmer is its own mitzvah, rather he looks at the whole concept, did you do it at the end or not?
Well again, not necessarily comparable sugyas. Here we're talking about what constitutes over zman batla. Now this is a specific, unique svara that how Chazal structured this mitzvah. I have no idea how Chazal, the Sfiras HaOmer is the Rabbanan, so it's clearly harder to understand what they did. I'm not sure, that's a separate shiloh.
So when we watch by the first day, is not any more special?
Oh, l'chari not. So what, well, let's see the Rashba's answer. One second. Well, what's the Rashba's answer? Yeshloimar mikol makim zman kavu yeshloi di avos mana in latashlumin. Says Rashba, it still is avos mana because you still, if you don't get around to building the sukkah till day eight, then you lost the mitzvah. I mean, it's not like it's an open ended mitzvah. There is still a limited time. It's not as limited as one day. It's 7 days. That's one answer. V'oyd yeshloimar. Talman itzvich le Rabbi Eliezer. Who are we going in, Rabbi Yisrael? We're going in Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is sukkah l'shiva boi. Rabbi Eliezer has a very interesting sheet that we don't pass like this. That the sukkah you sit on day one has got to be the same sukkah for all days. You can't go sukkah hopping. You can't eat one day in someone else's sukkah. You got to sit in the same sukkah that you built on for the first day. That's the sukkah for the rest of Yom Tov. So if you don't have it for the first day, you can't use any other sukkah. That's Rabbi Eliezer's sheet on sukkah. So what is?
You make a shechi on the first night, even if you didn't sit in the sukkah, then you sit. You go to the sukkah the second night and the third night. You make the shekhar.
Yeah, because that's
the first time that you
Mechair, eat Mechair. Yeah, I think so. So what do you see from this Rashba? Are you so distinct from a chloikish Hashem between Taisus and the Rashba and what makes something over zmanei batla? Taisus learned over zmanei batla means that if I don't get the mitzvah on this day, over zmanei batla, that's it. So then the Beis HaLevi's kasha is very strong. I lost out the mitzvah of being nimol day eight. But according to the Rashba, the Beis HaLevi's kasha is not a kasha. How did the Rashba understand of his mana butler? It means there has to be some point in time where I'll lose the mitzvah. Exactly. You don't have that by Mila. You don't have that. Because there's never an end point, according to the Rashba. If there's never an end point, it's never of his mana butler. So the answer to the Beis HaLevi's kasha on this tour is that the tour will learn like the Rashba. Avos Zmanei Batla doesn't mean you have to get the mitzvah done within the 24 hours. It means there has to be a time where you'll never be able to do that. That's not true. I can always be nimol. I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it the next day.
There has to be a time when it's not a mitzvah if you do it.
That's right. There has to be a time where you reach a level that even if you would then do the mitzvah, you would not get credit for it. Exactly.
There is no mitzvah.
That's right.
It's not true though. Why? Your father has a mitzvah.
What?
So that's the question. The question then is whose mitzvah will then it be? Well, at least there's still a mitzvah. There'll still be a kima mitzvah. The question is whose mitzvah it is.
The father.
Maybe.
So that has an end.
That's part of what the Beis Halevi discusses as well in that piece about whose mitzvah is it going to be. But the concept is the mitzvah still doesn't end. As opposed to sukkah, there will be a day in time where you can no longer do sukkah. There'll never be a day in time you can no longer do milah. It might not be whose chiv it is, but the mitzvah will be applicable for somebody. The mitzvah of milah, the mitzvah of liyos nimo will always be applicable. The question is to who will be. Might be different. That's
plus the fact that this
yeah.
Based on the fact that Yom Shemini overrides
yeah.
even Shabbat.
It does, but,
like no other mitzvah,
but we all know.
Therefore, Yom Shemini itself has a defined time.
But we all know it's not true. We know you can do Mila on Chi and Asiri. The Mila is kosher. It's not lechatchila, but the Mila is definitely kosher. So you can't tell me it's over his mind. I can't sit in a sukkah after sukkahs. Yeah. I could do a meal. It's not lechatchila, 100%. The meal is still kosher. Oh, okay, good. We'll get to tefillin in a second. There's a stipler we're going to talk about in a second. We'll talk about tefillin in a second, the stipler. This is the Beis Halevi's vort. So yeah, according to the Beis Halevi, it comes out very geschmack. Now this stipler is hard. It's in Kiddushin. You got to. It's a little harder for this one. So there's, according to this Beis Halevi, what comes out? Gevaldik Yisoid. It's a machlokes we're showing between Tosfos and the Rashba, and this is going to define whether or not you can answer the Beis Halevi's kasha. Now, the Chassam Sofer works through this lumdus, and he basically says that lefizeh, you can go back now and explain the Gemara that we started off with a while ago. We had a Gemara, and the Gemara made a comment that tzitzis and mezuzah are ein lahem kavu zman. There's no established time. There's machlokes between Yosef and Abaya, what do you do with that information? Is that good or is that bad? Is that better or worse? The fact that it's open-ended, where does that leave us? So Zok Techassam Sofer...
Why don't women have that mitzvah of tzitzis?
Women do have a mitzvah of tzitzis. Women are not necessarily not allowed to wear tzitzis. They're not obligated in tzitzis.
No, but if it's not, there's no kavuah zman.
Oh, I'll start. Why did I not mechuv? No, you say...
If you hold Laila,
right. If you hold Laila.
You just said that there's no...
So Tosfos, no. That's because Tosfos is going according to that mandama.
And according to that mandama, women will be...
And according to that mandama. It would be. So the Chassam Sofer has a shtickle Torah over here.
I see that in a wedding.
Yeah. Right, so that's a discussion. That's a discussion, and the Ramon Shulchan Aruch talks about it. Women wearing tefillin, wearing tzitzis, right? Even tefillin. Meikar Adin tefillin, they could wear... They could wear tefillin. They're not mechuyev. They could. Okay, that's a stick. Why? Yes. Correct. That's Mamash Tech Sam Sefer. Now Sam Sefer asks it a little different. He asks, tzitzis and mezuzah are fundamentally different than sukkah. Sukkah, you got to eat in the sukkah no matter what's going on. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's the Gemara's answer. When the Gemara answers, that what that really means is that there's a lomdish difference between tzitzis, mezuzah, and sukkah. Sukkah, you have to sit in the sukkah no matter what your situation is. Tzitzis and mezuzah is not like that. And that's why you can't learn that one from the other. That's Mamash, the first piece of Chassam Sofer which I put on the sheet, he speaks that out. Says the Chassam Sofer, Lefi, what I'm saying now is he basically points out that there's two mahalchim how to learn of his mana batla. There's Tosfos and then there's the Rashba. Tosfos learned of his mana batla means that a mitzvah is every 24 hours, and if I didn't get it done this 24 hours, I lost the mitzvah. Now it's a new mitzvah that comes up. It's not the same old mitzvah. Mila is the pshat, it's the same old mitzvah that reoccurs on day 8, day 9, day 10. Tzitzis and mezuzah is not the same old mitzvah, it's a new mitzvah. I lost yesterday's mitzvah, now I have today's mitzvah. The Rashba learned, no, Ovis Mana Batla doesn't mean that. Ovis Mana Batla means that there's a time frame. This mitzvah has a time frame, this mitzvah has no time frame. So tzitzis and mezuzah, there's no time frame for tzitzis and mezuzah. There's never a time where you don't have to do tzitzis and mezuzah. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's perhaps the machloikis between Ibn Yosef and Abaya, in when the Gemara makes a comment, she'ein lahem kavu azman. There's no set time for tzitzis and mezuzah. Therefore what? Says the Chassam Sofer in the last group of lines, ubezei yiturtsu beiz diktukim loshen hashas. Choda, my ola adas Ibn Yosef aloim abnei she'ein lahem kavu azman kil tvei. Why did Ibn Yosef say, way back in the Gemara, that because there's no set time for tzitzis and mezuzah, that's why it's more meikal. That's why it's supposed to be madoich haShabbos. They got Abaya, my Adi Rabbi to come. Then Abaya saw that svar. He said, "Oh no, use that svar the other way." What's the point of argument? So we mentioned the pshat from the Ar Sameach in Hilchos Korban Pesach. The Ar Sameach had a pshat that the machlokes was how to understand the nature of the mitzvah. Says the Chassam Sofer, "Ato Shem Yosef Choshev Atam Dein Kvulam Zman Vim Kein Loi Domi L'Shar Mitzvahs." What's the point of Ein Lahem Zman? There's no end point, i.e., of Zman Loi Botla. There's never an end point to the mitzvah, like the Rashba. Tzmam is like the Rashba. Ein lahem zman, there's no end point. There's never a time I don't have to put on tzitzis on my beged. So therefore, it's like all the other mitzvahs. That's the pasha, the pshat. The flip side is, achabai yehesh kudivya toisvis. No, she said, garim maila midein kavulam zman, kol shayit bishayit zmane. Go the other way. Since there's no end point, it means every day is a separate mitzvah. If every day is a separate mitzvah, then I'm going to lose each day's mitzvah. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's the machloekes Abayi and Rabbi Yosef. Machloekes Abayi and Rabbi Yosef is really the machloekes Tosfos and the Rashba, how to understand Ovar Zman Batla. Do you say because it never ends, or do you say that each day is a separate mitzvah, therefore each day you lose the mitzvah?
Of course,
that's the machloekes.
What difference does it make to me if the mitzvah never ends, if it's a different mitzvah? And that was, why would that be relevant?
Because that's whether or not I compare it to other mitzvahs or not. Whether or not I could look at this mitzvah and say this mitzvah is like all other mitzvahs, that machshir and teichas Shabbos, or I say, no, this mitzvah is unique. That was the cheshbon in the Gemara.
Tzitzis would be
right, then it would be more diamond to bris. Exactly. That's
the shabbos. The fact that it doesn't end, but if each one is a separate mitzvah, then it doesn't make it different.
No, those are two different svaras. No, those are the two different opinions.
I don't understand the relevance of the second opinion. Tosha's opinion makes sense because the very, very mitzvah that you're talking about is the mitzvah that either is here or is over his bottle. In the other side, you're talking about different mitzvahs, so who cares? I call it the mitzvah of picking this up. It's two different mitzvahs.
Oh,
so I picked this up twice, but it's two different mitzvahs.
No, no, no. The argument is whether or not there's a compelling argument that machshireh should be doyecha Shabbos. If this mitzvah needs to be done in this 24 hours, and then this mitzvah needs to push away Shabbos. But if I have a makeup date, then it doesn't need to push away Shabbos.
It's not a makeup date. It's a new date.
That's exactly. That's why it should be doyecha Shabbos. That's the svar of the other man, the Amar. That's the point.
I understand. I don't understand the other.
Are you on the other side?
It's a different mitzvah. Who cares why?
The other side holds. Right. I mean, therefore, there's no compelling reason to be doyecha Shabbos. The other man says, no. It's since you could do it any day you want, it's memeda like the other mitzvahs. And the Torah was already doyecha Shabbos at this also. It's a question of whether or not you can compare it to other mitzvahs. The Stipler in Kedushin, in number 6, wants to answer up the Beis HaLevi's kasha differently. We'll read it together. I have the Stipler says at the end that he's not so sure if these words make sense. We'll try.
But isn't there also a difference between Mila and Tzitzis, for example? Because even though you could say they never have an end, because you have to wear Tzitzis all the time.
Right.
Or you have to have a beggar with the Tzitzis on them all the time. But the difference is there's an extra step by Tzitzis. You have to own a beggar.
Right.
Right? Whereas Mila,
which is why
you have to exist. So there's a difference.
So this is why perhaps the Gemara never suggested. In the Rishayim, we're not learning out Tzitzis and Mezuzah from Mila. We're learning out Tzitzis and Mezuzah from Sukkah. Maybe we can't learn from Mila because of this point. Sukkah is more comparable to this.
Right.
Perhaps. We'll have to talk more about Sukkah also. You can always argue. But that's really the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, I can't learn that from Sukkah because I can always circumvent Tzitzis and Mezuzah and I can never circumvent Sukkah.
I need to circumvent with the
not, not having a bag. Right, that's the Gemara's answer. Was good for that answer. Says the Stipler of Kedushin, an interesting lumdus. He writes like this. Six. This is a Stipler in Kedushin. This is in the Sugyas in Kedushin that talk about Mila, right? From Chavtes to Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis. That's all the Sugyas of Mila. No, that's way too far. That's already Kibbutz of Eim, Lamed Aleph. Not too far. That's already Zman Grama talk. But that's Geshmaka Sugyas. I always thought the yeshiva should learn the Afchav Tes first Seder. When I was in yeshiva, we learned the second Seder, which was very enjoyable. But I think they should learn it. I think they should learn it first Seder, maybe like an Elul Zman. It's a nice. It's like 3-4 block, beautiful Torah on Mila and Mitzvahs. Nice lumdus. I don't know why they don't do it.
Throwing bay into the cycle. Also.
Yeah, why not? Throw everything. Yeah, I think it's kishmak to do. It's kishmak to have a lot of halacha, a lot of lumdus pidyon, a ben lumdus, a lot of good lumdus in the first Chav Tes. That Tosfos that we spoke already earlier, oisay v'loyasa mitzvah shemang grama. You could spend months on it. I don't know why the yeshivas don't do it. Okay. Why is Mila Deicha Shabbos? Hainu Hamaisa Mitzvah the Krisus Orla. So the Stipler Gavaldik Chiddush. When we talk about Mila Deicha Shabbos, what's Deicha Shabbos? The actual cutting of the Orla Deicha Shabbos. The Loi Hamitzvah the Liyos Mol, but not the status. Wow. Now, Zok the Stipler, the part that's Deicha Shabbos is the cut, not the status. Yeah, that doesn't really make too much sense, right? Says the Stipler.
It's a focus on the mice. Ah. Exactly. That's what the lady was going at.
But they usually go hand in hand, right? Once I do the Mila, now I have the status, right? But so Dr. Stipler, he has a way around that.
Somebody who's born in Bohol on the eighth day, you'd say that, you know what, I don't have to be over Shabbos, I'll wait until tomorrow.
So that's the Shiloh, when I tough as Dan Bris. We talked a little bit about that once. We never really figured out more. How much do you have to do? What do you have to do?
Right, whatever it is you have to do by Yom HaShmini, clearly, right?
The chatchila for sure, yeah.
Even though he's bald, so it's not
the. The question is that really considered a nimol? That's the question. Does that noilad nimol, if a person is born already gemalt, is that enough, or you need some form of action on someone else?
Well, the sarah also doesn't make a distinction.
Yeah, that's a question. I think we talked a while back about what do you do with the tavas dambris, how that works. So it says this type of the chayr pashut shegam begavna sheyimo b'soif hayoyim berega achreina. This is the creative case of this type. You do the mila a second before shkia. Says what? She oifin shamaisa mila hoisa b'shabbes. You did the maisa mila on Shabbos, but v'hasosoy mol who b'shoshek v'alayla. When did his status become nimo? A second after Shabbos. Okay. So the type is saying, if you do the mila, 12 seconds before Shabbos, you cut the mila, boom. Now, when does he become a nimol to enjoy the status that doesn't kick until after Shabbos? Okay. Therefore, hu b'shashak v'alayla, gam kim shari lo mol b'shabbos. You'd still be allowed to do the mila on Shabbos. The mitzvah of liois nimol doesn't happen on Shabbos. So what?
What's his problem?
He's trying to explain that even though we have a concept that mila is deicha Shabbos, right, it's not for the mitzvah of being nimol, it's for the mitzvah of doing the cutting.
Okay.
So that's going to bring us back to Beis Levi's Kasha in a second. We'll see why.
But you know, I'm trying to understand the svara, the fact that you become a nimo, what's that going to do with Shabbos?
So he's saying that will never ever, that will never be Deicha Shabbos.
Well, by any other
exactly.
None of it's comparable.
Exactly. That's exactly where the staple is going with this. To prove to you that the din of Liyos nimo is not like regular mitzvahs. This din of Liyos nimo is never Deicha Shabbos. That part of the mitzvah is not Deicha Shabbos.
It doesn't need to be Deicha Shabbos. Because what gets you there
is the act. But if you want to ask the Beis HaLevi's Kasha and you want to tell me that because Liyos Nimol should make it over Zmanei Batla, it's not true. Because that mitzvah itself is never Deicha Shabbos. So if that's not going to be Deicha Shabbos, it's Machshireha, it's not going to be Deicha Shabbos either. Yeah. That's the stipulous point. So he writes over here, says the type, if you buy into my yisoid, that we're going to split the mitzvah like the Beis HaLevi. We're going to split there's a din called doing the mila and being nimol, but the being nimol is never deicha Shabbos, even though it always is usually a byproduct from it. Says the type, im kain, malukulu shabikamin and malukulu shkenim avas manei batla. Right, the Gemara says all of the mitzvahs they're time sensitive. Mashenki b'mila the ma'isa mila ha'efshel kaim b'lamacha. I can always do the ma'isa mila the next day. V'imishum the mitzvahs hayoisim mol. The base of Levi's kasha, but I'm going to lose out the din of being nimol. Ein l'tashlum b'hamacha ha'mitzvah zeh the liyos mol loy ashkechem ba'da dachi Shabbos. That mitzvah is never deicha Shabbos. That liyos nimol element of mila zok t'stipler is never deicha Shabbos. So that's not going to go into the equation over here. Our sugya is discussing mitzvahs that are relevant to Shabbos. Do they go beyond Shabbos or they don't go beyond? This is not even connected. Therefore, he says, I like the ending. I said this without fully looking into the sugya. Hashem should give me the siyata dishmaya. That should make sense. The minchas are real. On the bottom of it, number 8-7, he just points out, he's a contemporary, he wrote a big nice fat sefer on Masechet Shabbos. It's hard to find commentaries who wrote on Rebbe Loz Demila. Rebbe Loz Demila is another perek that's not often learned in the yeshiva systems. Few yeshivas learn them. I learned it in yeshiva, other yeshivas learn it. So it's hard to find too many great, we'll call them cheating swarm on Rebbe Loz Demila. So this one's a, Minchas Ariel is pretty good, he's a contemporary. So he tires on this stipler, that this stipler only makes sense if you're going into Rabbanan's world. But Sfrek the Minchas Ariel, I forget, we're in Rebbe Eliezer's world. He says like this, Yesh lo hayah, te'ena chanami, lidi don, the hada milo deicha Shabbos. And where do we learn milo deicha Shabbos? From a pasuk. Mikro, metzina l'meimah, de kimlu chazal, de hamaisa milo ha deicha v'lai mitzvah liyaz mal. So then I can accept the stipler's idea, that since we're learning it from a pasuk, so the din is the maisa and not the status. Avla liba de Rebbe Eliezer, de chol machshire ha mitzvah deicha Shabbos. 1 second. Rebbe Eliezer's world is a much broader definition of deicha Shabbos. He holds even machshire ma deicha Shabbos. So if machshire ma deicha Shabbos, shouldn't liyaz normal also be deicha Shabbos? That's worse than machshirin.
Yeah, the
machshirin
is what gets you to the
ma'isa.
I don't see how they're not even related at all. One has nothing to do with the other.
What do you mean?
Well, the only reason why you're allowed to do the ma'isa is to...
Because the Torah says...
No, you're allowed to do the ma'isa because it says b'yom
ha'shmini. No, the only reason why you're allowed to do the machshirin is because you have to do the
get to the mitzvah. So he'll tell you that the mitzvah that you have to get to is the mila. It's not the nimo.
Not the nimo.
That's his aura. So, okay, for next week, we got to see the end of this long Tosfos. We're going to again bring ourselves into Kibbutz of Aim and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. We'll see why don't we learn out from that Aim mitzvahs Deicha Shabbos, and we'll talk